Hey everyone, here we are at Cover 3 Athletics, the 2022 WPIAL, also known as Pennsylvania District 7, football playoffs are set to begin this upcoming Friday, and the fun begins as the next 3 to 4 weeks, playoff football in Western PA. What more can you ask for? And then, of course, the state playoffs follow, but also, of course, we got District 7, our home, our bread and butter. Let's get into it. So we're going to talk about each bracket real quick, kind of run down each and break it down. So Class 6A, this bracket was the easiest of all of them. Top 4 out of 5 get in as North Allegheny beats Seneca Valley in a comeback fashion, holding them up by 1 point. That allowed NA to be undefeated Tri-County 5 conference champions, as they already clinched the 1 seed, but that just kind of put icing on the cake. The loss put Seneca Valley in an outward situation. Matt Lemon to beat Kane and Mac. That allowed Matt Lemon to clinch a 2 seed. Central Catholic got the 3 seed, as they already clinched the week before when they beat Seneca. But then because Kane and Mac and Seneca were tied for the last spot, Kane and Mac had the head-to-head, they're in. Seneca, their season's over with. So basically, you have the semifinals set in 2 weeks' time, NA versus Kane and Mac. You have Matt Lemon hosting Central Catholic. So, I mean this bracket, that's how it played out. There was no debate about it. And I look at it as, honestly, it's an open game, because North Allegheny, I mean, the last 10 years, they've had some really good teams, some really talented individual players. Art Walker is one of the greatest coaches of all time in the Whippeel. But the thing about it is, they haven't won a ring since 2012. And some teams, they've had really good teams, really good shots, and you're thinking, how doesn't this work? So can the Tigers get over the hump? Can they do it? That's the real question. Of course, Kane and Mac is who they draw in the semifinals. You love their chances to get to a championship game. But don't count out the Big Macs. Don't count out. Because with these two playing in the regular season, Kane and Mac pushed them, and it wasn't just a walkover. And all year long, Kane and Mac, they've hung around, they've challenged teams, and they've had trouble finishing out these wins, but they've hung around. So it's a case of the Big Macs have nothing to lose. They get playoff football for the first time in a while. NA, on the other hand, I mean, they're the 1 seed. I mean, they're here. You think this could be their year, but can they come through and win 2 playoff games? We'll see. On the other side, Matt Lemon and Central Catholic, they had the memorable game about a month ago where the Blue Devils came back from a 2-score deficit in the fourth quarter to win with a walk-off field goal to beat the Vikings. That allowed them to host this game inside of it. And Matt Lemon, I mean, they've been up and down. I mean, their record shows that. But, of course, the Blue Devils, I mean, they're a young team. Honestly, they lost a lot from last year's state title team. But Ball Palco's out again. And playoff Palco is a beautiful, and if you're against them, dangerous thing. So, you know, these guys will be ready, and they'll be up to play. Central Catholic, you know, it's been not the traditional year for them. And they haven't had a run game. Their defense hasn't been its dominant self. And they've just, you know, again, they're a 500 team at this point in the year. It's not something you're used to ever saying about Central Catholic football. So now it comes down to the Vikings. You have a week to feel good about your close regular season because you beat Seneca Valley in a shootout. Kind of a shootout. You beat them, though, in a must-have game. And then you take care of Gateway, you know, your finale. So if you're the Vikings, you feel good about how you close the year. And now it's a whole new season where it's obviously, you can, you know, everything can be forgotten if you're able to win 2 games. So, honestly, I think the NA Kane and Mac game's closer than what the numbers may suggest. Kane and Mac, Matt Lemon's an absolute toss-up. And honestly, this is a wide-open field. It truly is. You can make a scenario for any one of these four winning at all. But I personally think NA will hold on and find a way to get to the final. And I like the Vikings to, you know, finally get over the Matt Lemon and Palco hump and win. And in the championship, I'm going to pick Central Catholic. I just think it's more of a gut feel. I just think the Vikings are going to come with the plays. Payne Wayner, I think, is the best quarterback right now in 6A. And I think Central Catholic, the way they're playing, they're just going to find a way to win, and they're going to do it again. Then we go to Class 5A, or 18 playoff. There's some debate about, is that too little, is that too much? Honestly, looking at it, though, I think 8, even though it's kind of a bummer that some good teams are left out, I think it's going to happen regardless. So I think 8 actually is a nice number. And you look at the field, you have Bethel Park as the 1 seed taking on 8 seed North Hills in a quarterfinal this week. On the same side, you have the 4-5 matchup of Gateway hosting Upper St. Clair. You flip to the other side of the bracket, you have 2-seed Pine Ridgeland. They're hosting Penn Trafford as the 7th seed. And then the 3-seed is Franklin Regional, the Big East champs, hosting 6-seed Woodland Hills. So that's what the bracket looks like. And, I mean, looking at it, first of all, talk about the Gateway Upper St. Clair matchup. What a clash in the quarterfinal. I mean, Upper St. Clair came out hot. Of course, they had a tough loss to Bethel Park. They let the next one get away before responding a little bit. They beat Southfield in a must-win game to get second place. They do that. Of course, Pierce Township left out, losing to Bethel Park. They were the odd team out. But, I mean, it's a toss. I mean, USC Gateway, they both are electric teams. They both play good football. USC is a senior-heavy group. And you just feel, I mean, Gateway, of course, won the state title and all that. Actually, I apologize. They came close to a state title. I apologize. About 4 years ago. You know, and of course, Gateway, they've had some other close calls in the playoffs, had some successes, you know, in the last, you know, 5-6 years. Upper St. Clair, it's been a while. It's been just kind of like NA. It's been a while for USC. They've had a lot of good teams, a lot of talent, but it's been since they've made a deep playoff run, even been to a championship game. So we'll see if they can go over the hurdle. You know, if you look at the 1A matchup, Bethel Park deservedly, in my opinion, gets the 1 seed. It really, to me, it wasn't a debate. They cruised through a very tough Allegheny 6 conference. They got the conference title fair and square. This is a senior deep team. I mean, they've grown the last 3 years, and they've earned it. And then, their only loss came to Central Catholic early on. And Bethel Park's take care of the business each week, including over Peters when they had to have it to finish out as conference champs and get the 1 seed. Their opponent, North Hills had a chance. They had a chance at a conference title, but they got shellacked at Pine Richland. Now, North Hills had done enough the previous weeks by taking care of Shaler and the Foxes and by holding off Penn Hills and then beating, you know, and then, actually, that was it. But an earlier loss to Woody High kind of hurt their seeding, and then, of course, this loss. So, North Hills, they got a defense. They have 3 wins. They're offensively, it's not really anything special. But I think it's going to be just kind of a grudgy type game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring defensive game because it's both teams' strengths. Bethel Park likes to run the ball, so does North Hills. I think it'll be a low game that Bethel Park's going to be better at and they'll win, but I think it'll take a while for them to kind of pull away. On the other side of the bracket, Pine Ridgeland, Penn Trafford, the Rams, talk about 2 different seasons. The first half of the year, they had no offense. It was like, what's going on up in Wexford? Like, what is this? Or I should say Gibsonia, excuse me. But it's like, what was going on? But they put Ryan Palmieri at quarterback, and boy, oh boy, is this Rams team taking off with Palmieri. The offense is electric. The defense was already good. It's gotten even better. And this team's playing with a chip on its shoulder. And also for being conference champs in the 2-seed. They took the conference title with authority. They're the hottest team in 5A right now. No disrespect to Bethel Park, but they're coming. Penn Trafford, the defending state champs, they had to beat Franklin Regional to get in. It took overtime on senior night, but the Warriors, in what's not been a usual year for them based on the standard that they've had the last decade, they find a way to win and get in. Now they're here. They've had some good playoff battles in the past with PR. This team, again, the seniors, they know what it takes. They're back. You know, are they going to be able to deliver? And I think it's a case of PR is having an offense right now. It's the best it's been all season long. Penn Trafford's offense at times has struggled. At the end of the day, I like the Rams to win this game. I just think they're playing too good of football right now. I think it's going to be, you know, it's in Gibsonia. I just think a little too much for the Warriors to overcome. But they're not going to lie down. Colin Green's a special player. I mean, the Warriors got some big boys in the trenches. They're not going to lie down. But I think PR is a little too much at the end of it. USC Gateway, my opinion on that game. I mean, I love the matchup. It's a big time game. You know, but as much as it pains me knowing the special senior class they have, USC does, I'm gonna say Gateway wins this game. I just think at home they'll have a little bit more on offense, which will make the difference. And I think Dallas Harper's gonna make a big play that's gonna flip the game around in the second half. Other side, then the 3-6 matchup, Franklin Regional, Woody High. This one's the most intriguing to me because FR came out of nowhere this year to play good football and win the conference title. I mean, all their losses were close games. Roman Sarich, special player. He's been huge. Him and a Hudzak have been a 1-2 punch. But that Panther defense is back. First time I've had a good defense in a while. And they have an offense. I mean, they could put up the points up with anybody. Woody High, The defense is there. The offense hasn't been. So I think it's a case of this. If the game gets into the 20s, that favors the Panthers heavily. If the game is a low-scoring one, that's kind of like, you know, we're talking, if you get to 13, you're going to win, then, you know, it might be Woody High's night. But again, you're excited for both teams. It's a huge spot for both. But you look at the side of the bracket, Pierre's the heavy favorites, I think, just the way they've been playing the ball the last month. But don't count anybody else out. Left side of the bracket, I think Bethel Park's a clear favorite. It's a case of, you can have an interesting, you know, matchup, if it's them and Gateway in the semis, because it'd be a case of experience versus inexperience in that moment. Or if it's Bethel Park USC, we wouldn't mind a rematch either. So I think that side's going to be definitely how it plays out. Is more wide open than what you used to think for a one seed, you know, especially. But, I mean, I think the bracket, they got it right. I mean, I honestly have no issue with how they set it up. So, yeah, I mean, going forward, I think it's going to be a real good 5A playoffs. And, of course, 5A and 6A, their championships will be November 19th, that Saturday, up in Norwin High School. And then the Whippy and those champs and the Whippy will head into the state playoffs, the quarterfinal round, of course. That's why it's a week earlier. So let's talk about Class 4A here in the Whippy. Let's talk about it. Now, this bracket, 13-team field, a little crazy. And with how we got set, it is definitely crazy how it came about. So we'll talk about the bracket, then we'll get into deets. So the one seed, rightfully so, your Parkway champions, Aliquippa, the defending 4A state champs too. And the Quips, I mean, like I said, them in Central Valley was for the conference title in the one seed. The Quips dominant in the second half. They get it fair and square. I know there's no argument. The 8-9 matchup is Montour and Hampton. Of course, Aliquippa gets a bye and they'll make the winner in that one. The bomb portion, the 4 seed, or the Allegheny Conference champs, Armstrong, they'll be taking on 13th seed Blackhawk. And that's the greater Allegheny Conference. My apologies. And then the 5 seeds, McKeesport, will be playing 12 seed in Mars on that side of the bracket. And then, of course, and on this side is interesting because, obviously, we talked about the Quips there. Montour, they clinched the playoff berth a couple weeks ago. They got West Day last week. And it was the Spartans who found a way to win by one in overtime. That gave them the 3 seed via the head-to-head over West Day, who's kind of cooled off after the hot start. So that gave them there. Blackhawk had clinched. They just were the 5 seed comfortably out of that Parkway Conference. And they were viewed as, you know, the lowest team in the playoffs in 4A. And honestly, I agree with it because the Parkway, it was obviously top-heavy, and the bottom half wasn't so good. Blackhawk, you know, got the fist bump kind of by default. No disrespect to them, but it's just how it played out. And, of course, then 2 weeks ago, Armstrong, we were at that game. They beat Highlands on their own field. Caden Olson, the offense, put on a clinic to get the conference title there. And they, I mean, they've been consistent all year. And their one loss came to the Quips early on, and they played them tight. So, I mean, I honestly thought the Riverhawks should have been seeded higher. I thought they kind of got gypped as the 4 seed. But either way, I mean, they deserve the higher ranking. And then McKeesport, how are they 5, you're saying? Well, finale against TJ at home, they lose. They lose 20-10. Now, I do think McKeesport got unfairly punished, and they should have been a top 4 seed still. And I thought TJ got a little bit too much rewarded for that win because they're a 7-3 team who struggled, you know, at times in this year. Some of them were, you know, always just saying about TJ, but it's the truth. So I kind of thought the committee was a little bit too quick to react about the Jaguars' win on last Friday and on both sides of it. And then Mars, they had to beat North Catholic again. They do just that, so they won their way in. And Coach Casper's first year has them back in the playoffs with 6 wins. So good for them. The other side of the bracket, the 2 seed was Central Valley. And for the fact that McKeesport lost definitely affected, because I think they would have had Central Valley as a 3 seed, which either way you get a bye, but also it depends who your potential quarterfinal opponent is. So I think that also benefited the Warriors getting them the 2 seed. TJ gets a 3 seed, like I mentioned, and those two get a bye into the quarterfinals. I talked about it, I thought about that. Or then the 7-10 matchup this Friday will be Laurel Highlands hosting West Day for the right to play Central Valley next week. Of course, Laurel Highlands, they've had a really good season, 7 wins, and because TJ won by more than 8 points, they technically all share the conference crown. Now, TJ was designated as the number 1 team out of the conference. but they all technically share. So the Lower Hounds made history this year already. Now they're going to try to win a playoff game. West Day, they started off hot. They kind of fell off the end. Injuries hurt them a bit, but they're still a 7-1 team. And again, this program was down the last couple of years, so nice bounce back for them. And you could potentially see either Ronnie Gallagher try to lead Lower Highlands as huge underdogs next week, or West Day Central Valley renew their rivalry with the chance of the semis at stake. So either way, I think that would be interesting. And then the 6-11 matchup this week, Highlands hosting Latrobe. Highlands win this about a year ago. They lost. Can they get a win? Latrobe into 4A. They have 6 wins. They're in the playoffs. They were the 4th team out of that conference with TJ and such. So they were out of it like that. And Latrobe, they got Robert Fennin. Fulton, my apologies. He's a special player. Don't count them out. Can Highlands get over the hurdle? Chandler Thimmons and those seniors, it's their last game at home. Can they find a way to end on the right note and move on to the next round at the same time? So, I'm looking at things this week. I like Lower Highlands. Ronnie's the best player on the field. West Day has kind of lost its early mojo. Injuries hurt them. Highlands and Latrobe. I'm going to pick an upset. I think Latrobe goes there. I think Fulton has a heck of a game. I think Highlands just comes up short. But overall, I think we'll see Central Valley and TJ score off in a semifinal. And I'm picking Central Valley to make the final. They're just, I think, the best team in the field, but it won't be easy. Back to the left side, I think Riverhawks have no trouble at all moving on to the quarterfinals. Erica Sparrowitz and Mars have a really good year. They've made a heck of strides, but McKeesport's a better team. I think the Tigers bounce back with a vengeance and they move on. And that'll be a really intriguing potential matchup between the McKeesport and Armstrong in the quarterfinal. And Montour is playing the right way. Hampton, they squeaked in to still get in. This one's a toss-up, but honestly, I'm going to go Montour at home by a field goal. But either way, Quipa, I don't think there's any trouble getting into the semifinals. It's a matter of who the Quips will face, which at the end of the day, assuming we don't have any upsets, Riverhawks or McKeesport, you won't be upset that semifinal regardless. And think about last year, how McKeesport gave it away at the end and Alcoba were the beneficiaries. That'd be a heck of a storyline for a rematch. And Armstrong, they competed, and it was a good game for 4 quarters early in the year. And Kane Olson's a real deal quarterback. You wouldn't mind seeing a rematch there. But I'm still going to go with the Quips until someone proves it. So I'm going to say we have a Quip Central Valley rematch. My guy, BY, agrees, and he thinks that Central Valley lost in the regular season, they'll get them back in the championship. I'm going to go Quips until someone proves otherwise. Quips. It's not smart to pick against Aliquippa. That's kind of a rule of thumb in the Whippy, we're just saying. No disrespect intended, though, but just kind of saying it out there. And again, 4A was pretty clear-cut about who was getting in, how they were going to get in, etc. It was pretty clear-cut about, there was really no debates about being left down or anything. It was, you qualify or you don't. And I believe the conference is called the Big East. I apologize if I get it mixed up. No, it's not the Big East. I'm sorry. I'm drawing a blank. I can't remember. I think it's the Big 7. I'm sorry. So TJ won the Big 7 conference. My apologies. But again, the bomb 3 teams there just weren't good. The Greater Allegheny, same thing. North Calic, obviously, they lost to Mars and they got eliminated because of that. Other than them, the bomb teams weren't any good. So it's kind of stuck like that. Like, there's really no arguments here. You got in. Now let's talk Class 3A, the bracket. And I told you this would be a rapid fire one. We're just going to kind of run through and talk. We're not going to get heavy duty with things. So we're just going to keep it light and quick and enjoyable. So, 3A bracket, this one of the bigger ones. Left side, the 1 seed's Bell Vernon. They will play real quick, the top 4 seeds all get a bye into the quarterfinals. So, Bell Vernon will await the winner of the A9 game between Mount Pleasant and East Allegheny. Bomb side of the left, 4 seeds Freeport. They await the winner of the 5-12 matchup of West Mifflin and Southmoreland. And again, pretty clear cut. You clinched. There really was no whole lot of races to see who would get in 3A here. As Mount Pleasant beats Southmoreland, so that gave the Vikings the third place finish in the interstate. And obviously the 8 seed and the right to host. East A, they lost to Shadyside. They got third place in the Allegheny. That cost them a chance to host and cost them seed-wise. Southmoreland, they're the lowest team in. West Mifflin, they lost to South Park. So they still got the 5 seed. But again, they could have been possibly a little bit higher as well. And of course, Freeport Allegheny champs, they deserve the 4 seed. And Belvern beats EF in dominant fashion to win the Interstate and rightfully get the 1 seed. Of course, Elizabeth Ford, and you kind of knew the winner would get the 1, and when you knew the winner would get the 1 seed, excuse me, and you felt like the loser would probably be the 3 seed, that's how it played out. Is Elizabeth Ford is seeded 3rd because of that. And they'll play the, they'll wait the winner of Shadyside and South Park in the 6-11 game. Of course, Shadyside, they came in 2nd, but being East State, they earned 6th. South Park only 5-5, as was West Mifflin. I feel like South Park could beat West Mifflin, should have been getting a little more respect. But again, they kind of caught on after a slow start. So the Eagles there get the 11 seed. And then the 2 seed belongs to Averworth, who won their conference title with really no challenge. They'll wait the winner of the 7-10 game between Beaver and Deer Lakes. Of course, Deer Lakes, 4-6. Last place out of the, I mean, 4th out of the Allegheny, excuse me. But Deer Lakes, they're rewarded with a 10 seed, which I'm not going to lie. Because, I mean, they wanted to avoid conference rematches in the first round. But I'm not going to lie to you. Deer Lakes, I feel like, isn't, I feel like Deer Lakes isn't better than Southmoreland or South Park. So I feel like they should have been seeded 12th, but I understand maybe wanting to not give Freeport a conference rematch, potentially, but that is what that is. Of course, Beaver, 7 wins, 2nd place to Averworth in that conference. So again, you kind of look at that, though, saying, well, isn't that unfair to Averworth? And honestly, I feel like Beaver is a 7-win team. They could have been seeded 6th, I feel like Beaver should have been seeded a little bit higher as well. You could even put them as a 5 seed, to be honest. So I think Beaver got seeded a little bit low, as well as South Park. Deer Lakes got seeded too high. In my opinion, that is. But of course, but again, the last week of the season, you know, shaped this bracket. It literally did. And you look at the left side, I mean, Belle Verde and heavy favorites to make the semis. I really can't see a scenario where they don't beat the winner of Mount Pleasant and East Day. I'm going to pick Mount Pleasant. I think the Viking run game, Robbie Labadula and the boys, this would be too much for East Day to handle defensively and to keep up with. The bump, West Mifflin, Southmoreland, I think the Titans bounce back. They haven't hosted a playoff game in some time. They're back in the playoffs. I think they go crazy and win. Southmoreland, I mean, they have a real fun pass game. Ty Kiefer, Caden Kiefer, you know, I mean, 1-2 punch through the air. They put up some crazy numbers this year. And you feel good for the Scotties to make it back to the playoffs. But I just think West Mifflin's a better team, and the run game will take over. But again, I like Freeport. I've liked this Freeport team all year. I'm glad they finally kind of put it together and do something with it, because they've had some talented teams the last couple of years. But Yellow Jackets are for real. Ben Lane's a real deal. I think you'll see Freeport and Belvern in the semifinals. But again, Freeport, they haven't been there in a while. Like, in a long while. Belvern made the title game a year ago. Quinn and Martin's a leopard. I think Belvern makes the final. Other side of the bracket, Beaver and Deer Lakes. Beaver's a better team. I don't think they have any trouble this week. Beaver and Averworth, I like the rematch, even though I don't think it's fair to either team to do the rematch when you could have did things otherwise. But I think the Antelopes, better team, they'll get to the semis. And then Elizabeth Ford, I think it'll be them and Shadyside. I think the Bulldogs will find a way to beat South Park in a competitive, low-scoring game. But at the end of the day, EF, they'll have a week to lick their wounds, bounce back, get back to the basics, flush what happened. They'll be fine. I like it. I honestly, this is going to be boring, but I think the top 4 seeds all make the semis. And I'm going to pick Belle Vernon. And I'm going to say Averworth gets to the final. And I'm going to go a little crazy. I think the Averworth Antelopes come out of this bracket as champs, as they just have something special with that senior class. They tasted it as freshmen. I think they do it this year and surprise people. And Belle Vernon, you know, I mean, Matt Humbert's done a fantastic job with that program. It's a great program. It is. But they've yet to win a title. They've been there a couple times, come up short. I just think, you know, until they do it, it's hard to go with it. So I'm going to pick Averworth to win this bracket. Now we go Class 2A. And this one is a 12-team bracket. Oh, I apologize. It's a 14-team bracket. So the left side, Steel Valley is the 1 seed. They get the byes. Is the top 2 seeds get a bye. Isaiah Wade the winner of the 89 matchup between McGuffey and Mohawk. Bomb in the bracket. The 4 seeds of Shank, they host number 13, Burrell. Well, then the 5-12 game, Sarah Catholic hosting Washington. So how about that? Who would have thought Sarah and Wash High would be a first-round matchup, let alone a 5-12 one at the beginning of the year? Wash High, a little bit of injury issues. But hey, I mean, in the Prexies, they lost to McGuffey. Prior to that, they lost to KO. They got smacked by Storrocks. So, I mean, they played their way into the fourth place finish in that conference. Of course, Sarah Kalik shut out, embarrassed by Steel Valley last week. How do they respond? Honestly, I just think Wash High. I just think for some reason that they're going to win this game. I'm going to pick an upset. I think Wash High pulls the 12 seed upset. I don't have anything to go off. I just think the Prexy is going to find a way. Defon Fuse and the boys are going to rally. They're going to come in pissed off. And they're going to find a way just to outground Sarah Catholic. And what's going to be, I think, a very high scoring game. I think Neshank is no trouble with Burl. McGuffey Mohawk, you feel good for Mohawk, who had just a weird start to the season. That really was just kind of crazy when it went down. They responded nicely to get in, and they took care of business. I mean, they beat Western Beaver, they beat Riverside. You know, they won the games they had to win to get third in that tough conference. But I think McGuffey, they just beat Wash High. This Highlander team's been good the last couple years, and everyone just kind of overlooks it. I like McGuffey to win this game. But at the end of the day, Steel Valley goes as Cruz goes. No one's figured it out yet. I like the Ironman to make the semis. And I'm going to say the Neshannock Lancers join them in the semis. But I think Cruz and Steel Valley and the underrated Ironman defense way too much. I like them in the final. The other side of the bracket, Beaver Falls gets the 2 seed. Don't wait through in the 7-10 game, which will be Ligonier Valley hosting Western Beaver. Bottom of the bracket, Starks gets the 3 seed. They host number 14 Riverside. Well, then the 6 seeds, Keystone Oaks, they will play host to 11 seeded Apollo Ridge. So Beaver Falls, can they redeem themselves, get back to the final and win this time? That's the question. Starhawks, you know, it's kind of in their history too. They've come close so many times, have come up short. This senior class in particular has played in how many big games, has all these incredible numbers, and they've been fun to watch the last 4 years. Can they get a championship? Well, I think the Vikings have no trouble getting to the quarterfinals. Since the tumultuous 0-2 start, they've done nothing but win, literally, and they won with authority to win their conference and get here. I like them to get into the quarterfinals. Keystone Oaks and Apollo Ridge, the Vikings, they had to win to get in. They did just that. They're here. Keystone Oaks, though, 8-2. They beat Wash High. They beat McGuffey. They lost early to Starhawks, got over that. Nick Buckley and the boys are for real, and I like KO to win by 3 touchdowns. No offense to Apollo Ridge to move on. Set up a Starhawks KO rematch, which, personally, I don't think is fair to either team to do a rematch in the quarterfinal for this case, because KO's had a really good second half of the season. But you don't want to put them any lower, I guess, and you really couldn't justify giving them the 5 seed. So I guess they're kind of stuck there. But I like the Vikings to roll into the semis. Ligonier Valley, Western Beaver, can the Rams win a Whippeal playoff game? I think it's the Golden Beavers, I'm sorry. But I think the Rams do win one. I think Ligonier Valley is the real deal. This is a deep team. They've got better as the year's gone on. And I think Western Beaver, again, I mean, they're 7-3. I mean, they kind of fell off, losing to Mohawk, losing to Beaver Falls. I like Ligonier Valley at home. As you feel like kind of an underdog 7 seed here, gets the win. But I think either way, it'll be Beaver Falls moving on. And that sets up a Starhawks Beaver Falls semi, which I'm gonna pick the Vikings. I think this group's gonna find a way to win. I think it'll be a shootout, and they'll find a way. And if we have a Starhawk Steel Valley championship, it'll be a treat. But I'm sorry. I think this is Cruz Brookins' year. The Ironman, they feel like they got gypped a year ago. They're back with a vengeance. It's been the revenge tour all year. I think Steel Valley brings home the gold. And you know, and honestly, look at the brackets. It's kind of surprising Shannon got a 4 seed. I mean, they definitely deserve a top 5 seed. But the 4 seed, you know, I thought was a little bit of a surprise. But they're there. And then Burl losing the finale hurt them seeding-wise, too, dropping them down. And then, honestly, Steel Valley Sarah's for the conference title. Steel Valley won that, so they got the 1 seed. Sarah got the 5 as a result. But they all kind of played out as you would expect it to. Really no surprise, really no argument, in my opinion, about the seeding in 2A. And then last but not least, the Class 1A bracket. 16 teams. Just play it up. 4 weeks of playoff football. Left side of the bracket, the 1 seed and defending Whippeal champ, Canavan, will host Jeanette. Good to see the Jets back into the playoffs. But of course, Canavan, heavy favorites, and they should take care of business. They're paired with the 8-9 matchup. And talk about the controversy is early the Sacred Heart will be hosting Clariton. So talk about a big-time first-round matchup. But Clairton, second place in the Eastern Conference. Olsch got fourth in the Black Hills, and they are the higher seed hosting, which, I mean, I get the overall records here, but Clairton's 5-5, Olsch is 8-2, but, like, come on now. Like, Olsch just got shut out and dominated by Canavan. I'm not shut out, but they got, I think it was 40-3 or something. They got dominated a couple weeks ago. So, I don't fully understand this one. Is that how you can put one whole conference as half the top 8 seeds? But that's what it is. But I'm going to pick Clairton, who's going to come with the Chubbler Shore to win that game and move on. And that was something. Either way, it'll be, I mean, and we've seen Canavan beat Olsch a couple weeks ago. We saw it in last year's final. So it could be like a part three if it's Olsch moving on with Canavan. In that case, I like Crusaders big and easy. Where if it's Clairton and Canavan, Canavan should still be the favorites. But Clairton, they wouldn't be a slouch. Well, then the Bonmouth, the 4 seed, the undefeated Tri-County South champions, Mapletown, will be hosting number 13, Leechburg, who got 3rd in the Eastern Conference. Of course, Leechburg lost to GCC last week, so that kind of knocked him into this low of a seed, which we'll talk about in a second. And they're paired with the 5-12 matchup of Southside hosting California. So you could have a potential rematch of the TCS in a quarterfinal. You can have 2 double-digit seeds. You could have none of it. I mean, you could just have two, you know, something different. Now, I'm glad that the Maples got rewarded. I'm glad that the whole Tri-County South can't win a playoff game didn't cost the Maples, and they didn't get punished for something that's not their fault. So, because this year's team has nothing to do with that. So, I'm glad they got the seed they deserved. Leechburg, is Braylon Lovelace healthy? What's his status? He missed the finale of the regular season. Is he ready to go? And how ready is he based on, you know, injury-wise? Because as he goes, the Blue Devils go. I mean, Leechburg does have a deep team, but it centers around their star, which you'd expect it to, especially in 1A football because of the small roster sizes. Landon Stevenson's, I mean, he's a big dog in his own right for the Maples. He's a 4-year guy. They have a senior deep team, and I've said it all year. People have laughed at me. People have rolled their eyes, but the Mapletown Maples are for real. Give them their respect, and they're going to win this game. They shut up the TCS narrative for at least this year. So, Landon, Mapletown, if you're listening, please back me up here. Well, then Southside and Cal. Southside, they're 9-1, but you feel like they kind of struggled their way to win some games. I mean, they won them, but it wasn't pretty. California, 8-2 out of the TCS. I mean, they're 8-2, and they're not talked about at all, and they're heavy underdogs here. But I'm going to say this. The TCS has struggled to win playoff games. But you know what? It's been a goofy year. I'm going to pick the upset. I'm going to say 12-seed California goes on the road and stuns the Rams in their own building in another low-scoring, weird type of game. But this one, I think, goes the Trojans' way. I'm going to pick the upset. But at the end of the day, as much as I want to pick the Clairton upset, potential Clairton upset and run, the Bears are 5-5 for a reason this year. Canavan, until it's proven, deserves their respect. I'm going to say Canavan makes the semifinals. I'm going to pick my Maples to make the semis. As much as I want to do it. I'm going to say Canavan has a 90. I'm going to say this. Canavan has a 96% chance to make the championship game. I'm going to give Mapletown a 3% chance to be the team to make it if it's not Canavan. And then I'm going to give 1% to the field. I'm going to leave it at that. But I want to see Mapletown make the final. Just saying. Other side of the bracket, 2 seeds Laurel hosting 15 seed Carmichael's. The 7-10 matchup is Burgettstown versus Union. Bottom of that bracket, number 3 is Greensburg Central Catholic, the Eastern Conference champs, will be hosting number 14 Rochester. Within the 6-11 matchup will be Fort Cherry hosting Manesson. Now I'm going to say this. I'm surprised Manesson got as high of a seed as they did, because they kind of cooled off there, losing to Mapletown at the end, losing to Carmichael's. I believe they lost to California too, but they still got the 11th seed, so kudos to the committee for being fair. Fort Cherry, they low-key had a really good year. And they got a really special freshman leading the show for them. I mean, this kid had a 1,000 season. He is the real deal for them. And Fort Cherry is a star freshman, Matt Sieg. I mean, he's now one of 20 guys in Whippeal history to have a 1,000 season, meaning you throw for 1,000, run for 1,000. And he's the first freshman in Whipple history to do that. So this kid's special. They got something going, really good going on there as a program overall. So I like them to move on into the core finals. But good to see Manassas back and having a winning record, though. Rochester and GCC, the Rams. I mean, they've had a weird year. They've played a lot of close games, a lot of funky games. They've won some, they've lost some. They're 500 for a reason. The Centurions, they're 8-2. You know, it's kind of like you're waiting for them to kind of fall off or, you know, kind of be more talk than they were talented. But they backed every bit of it up. They're the real deal. GCC, I think, moves on to the quarters, no trouble. And I'm going to say GCC into the semis. I just think they got some experience. They got too much. I think it's their time to make a run. Fort Cherry should have their time the next 3 years. The other end of it, Burgettstown Union thinks a toss at the Blue Devils. Beat Olsh earlier on. That's how they got this conversation, but they lost to Fort Cherry. Union, on the other hand, the Scotties, they're pesky. They're dingy. They come out of a tough conference, and I like Union to pull the upset. Sorry, Burgettstown. Laurel and Carmichael's the Mighty Mikes. How can't you like them? But Laurel's the real deal. This team's good. Landsman's a stud. They got the defense. They got the run game. And they want to avenge what happened last year. I like Laurel. I like them comfortably. And I like Laurel to beat Union again and get into the semis. GCC as well. And I'm going to pick Laurel. I think Laurel's on a tear this year. Maybe the committee knows something we don't about the Easter Conference. I don't know. I don't agree with it. I think it's crazy how the East has their champion as a 3-seed, which is fair. But then everybody else is 9-seed or lower. I think that's crazy. But it's how it played out, obviously. But I like Laurel to make the final this year. And at the end of the day, I'm going to say whoever comes out of the left side of the bracket, whether it's Canavan or Mapletown or somebody else, I think wins the whole thing in 1A. But I think this bracket is going to be better than it looks on paper, maybe. I don't think it's a big Canavan versus the field type vibe. Like I said, I mean, Canavan are the heavy favorites, rightfully so. But at the end of the day, I think there's about a handful of teams that have a legit chance to win this thing and get it. And honestly, looking at it in all six brackets, like I said, 6A, I truly think's wide open. I do. 5A, you can make a case for honestly anybody but North Hills to go make the final and win. Woody High might be a stretch to win two playoff games and get to the championship, but you can make a real case for really any of the six, and maybe even Woody High. 4A, Aliquip is heavy favorites, rightfully so. In a Quip Central Valley title game is obviously the trendy, pretty comfortable, safe pick. But again, don't count these TJ Jaguars out. They kind of had a middle season, you know, come to Jesus meeting to kind of regroup as a program, and they showed last week. They have a week off to prepare and hear people picking them not to make the final. So watch out for Chirp picking them to maybe make the final when you don't expect them to. You know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, Ronnie Gallagher's a special player with Laurel Highlands. You just never know. There's always a little bit of a chance. The other side of the bracket, I mean, you feel good about Armstrong and McKeesport this week. If so, we'll be in a treat in the quarterfinal next week. And honestly, if that's the case, and assuming Alcoa will take care of its business, you can have a really good semifinal with one of those two versus the Quips. And honestly, I mean, I'm not going to, like I said, I'm not picking against them. But I don't think it would be a pushover. I think it would be a real good game either way. And then the Class 3A bracket, I mean, Belle Vernon, you look at it as a heavy favorite to make this. I mean, like I said, Class 3A, I think this is out of all the brackets is the highest percent chance that you'll see the top four make the semifinals and play out like you kind of expected to with the seeds. But I think you could have two good semifinals and a good championship, but I think getting there might be kind of pretty uneventful. And like I said, 1A, Kahneman heavy favorites. And a lot of people are going to pick against Mapletown, if not this week, next week. But I think the Maples are the real deal, and they can make a push, and don't count them out. And I think the other side of the bracket could be more entertaining than you would expect. And then 2A, I think there's a lot of drama to be had. I think you're going to have a lot of good games this week in the first round. I think you're going to have good quarterfinals across the board, regardless what they look like, at least in three of the four games. I think Still Valley should have no trouble moving on. But I think you have a lot of intrigue who the Final Four could be and how it plays out for the final. Just with recent history, expectations, the talent level that's spread out amongst all these teams. So I think 2A could be just a wildly insane bracket that has some jaw-droppers. I really do think that. And I can see it happening. So that's my take on this. It was short, sweet, simple to the point. Of course, players, if you have high film stats, whatever, tag us, good ass. Cover3 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'll be glad to share it, pump you up. We gave our game balls for 10 weeks. Hope you all enjoyed that. And again, it's playoff football. Now, like I said, 5A and 6A, their championships will be Saturday, November 19th at Norwin High School, because then the Whitfield champs go into the state playoffs in the quarterfinal round. Of course, the other four classes have 4 weeks of class, as all four of their title games will be at Akershore Stadium Friday, November 25th. And of course, then the four Whitfield champions, they will go into the state semis the following week and such. And how about a shout out to the city champions, Westinghouse Bulldogs, get the city title. They're undefeated, and they are the number two ranked team in the state of PA in Class 2A, as they have a sub-regional game Friday against Chestnut Ridge. But Westinghouse, heavy favorites, and you like the Bulldogs to make the state quarterfinals and have a real chance at facing the Whitfield champ in a state semifinal game. So wouldn't that be something? And by the way, Southern Columbia their winning streak got snapped early this season, and I think they have two losses this year. If I'm wrong, I apologize, but the 2A field might just be open a little bit for once in the state scope of things. So we'll keep an eye on that. So I hope you guys enjoyed this PA District 7 football, otherwise known as the WPIAL, breakdown CTA style. Of course, wherever you go Friday to watch the games, enjoy, be safe, have fun. And yeah, we'll keep it posting, guys. So I hope you guys enjoyed this, and we'll speak soon. See you guys. Car 3 Athletics, out.